All right, welcome back. Who's talking? This is Jim Hobgood. We're without Frank Maloney tonight. Frank, a little under the weather. He'll be back soon, maybe as soon as next week. Chris Sill is in the house helping out tonight, but we are visiting with the former Cavalier Dan Bonner. And Dan, thanks for sticking with us through what can seem like a long break there. But you know, we have a lot of sponsors here on the show. You know, everybody wants to be part of the team. But at any rate, As I kind of mentioned to you, national scene sure looks to me like the Big Ten may be where a lot of the action is between Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio State. Those are three powerhouses that could maybe have Final Four aspirations.
Jim, I think you're right. And in addition to those schools, I mean, Illinois just beat Gonzaga, and they beat them at Gonzaga. So I don't think – and Illinois also won the
Maui
tournament.
Right.
So I think that Illinois, they're in the – I think they're number 10 now in the AP poll. So you've got Indiana at number 1. You've got Michigan at number 3. You've got Ohio State at number 7. You've got Illinois at number 10. Minnesota's in there. And then Michigan State is down at 18 or 19. So certainly the Big Ten, I think, once again, is going to be really, really good top to bottom. One of the interesting things that I see on the national scene early, and we'll see how long this lasts, but the West is very well represented so far on the national scene. And that's something with the Pac-12 being down the last couple years you haven't really seen. But Arizona is in the top 10. Gonzaga, even though they lost to Illinois, they're still in the top 25. UNLV is in the top 25. San Diego State is in the top 25. So even though they're not necessarily the Pac-12 schools, except for Arizona, I think the western part of the country is really well represented. New Mexico among them this time of the year, which is something that you don't see all the time, or you haven't seen for the last few years.
So come March, when you put that CBS blazer on, it really will be a national tournament represented by all parts of the country.
I think so. Arizona has really impressed me early in the season. San Diego State, even though they lost that aircraft carrier game, I think they've got a couple of good wins. Even a team like Oklahoma State, which is, a lot of people consider them in the central part of the country, but it's a big dang country. But I think that the western part of the country, which sometimes has been underrepresented over the last few years, and not because of any East Coast bias or anything, but because the teams haven't been as solid, I think there's some really, really good basketball being played in the western part of the country this year.
Now, I always sometimes have concerns about the state of college basketball. I happen to notice in the Wall Street Journal today, that's where I get my best sports news, that UCLA played Texas over the weekend at Reliant Stadium in Houston, which is a football stadium, and they drew less than 3,000 people. Now, it just seems who made that decision to play that game there?
I think when you say, UCLA, again, and this has happened to UCLA the last couple of years, they come into the season with a lot of high expectations, and Texas is always good. And so I think people feel like you play a game in Reliant Stadium, which is in Houston, and you have a really good University of Texas team playing there against a really good UCLA team, that you're going to get a nice crowd. I think it's a risk, but when it comes to the point where Texas is not playing very well, at least they haven't played up to expectations, and UCLA for the moment has dropped off the face of the earth, then that's a little bit difficult. And we play the regionals, the NCAA regionals, and the Final Fours in these football stadiums, these domes. That's just the way college basketball is going.
Yeah, it just seems weird that they would pick a stadium that size, given the crowd they had. But I guess
I
can't always have great planning.
They probably planned on a bigger crowd.
I'm sure of that. and I thought I would ask you about the conferences. Certainly from the ACC standpoint, and I know a lot of these conference realignments are done because of football. But from a basketball perspective, you add Syracuse, Pitt, Louisville, Notre Dame, that really enhances the basketball side of the equation for the ACC, doesn't it?
I think it does. It'll be very interesting to see how long, for example, Jim Boeheim continues to coach at Syracuse, and if he retires in the next couple of years, what will Syracuse be without him? Now, because you were around then, that Syracuse was a very, very good basketball program before Jim Boeheim, but it'd be always interesting to see what happens after a figure like that leaves. Pitt, of course, has had a really good program, and I don't see any reason why they won't continue to do it. And I'm not sure that this conference realignment anymore is being driven so much by football as it is by cable television sets. That's the Maryland and Rutgers move to the Big Ten. I read a long article, probably not in the Wall Street Journal, that's a little over my head, Jim, but I read a long article that indicated that based on cable TV rates for the Big Ten network, that the Big Ten was hoping eventually to make $100 million a year with people in the Maryland and Rutgers TV markets. And so it's not so much football anymore as it's money. And Maryland, you got a feel for them. They financially strapped athletic program that had to get rid of seven sports, that here they have an opportunity to add those sports back and make a lot more money. Certainly, you don't blame them, although as a traditionalist, I'm sorry to see that. I told somebody the other day that I'm such a traditionalist, I still wish they were playing in Reynolds Coliseum down in Raleigh. And
yeah, which NC State did the other day. Yeah. But anyway, Dan, we're at a hard break, top of the hour. Thanks for joining us. We'll have you again soon.
All right, Jim. Thanks a lot.
All right, Dan Bonner, we'll be back after the top of the hour break. Stay tuned to Who's Talking.